ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is the Country Hour, broadcasting live from the NT Cattlemen's Association Conference being held in the Alice. And my next guest is the keynote speaker of this year's conference. And he's come to the Alice from far, far away. Todd Wilkinson is from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in the United States. Welcome to the Country Hour.
Well, it is awesome to be here.
Tell me, you got up on stage today, and in front of all these cattle producers from the Northern Territory, you said that there is one thing in particular that you are very concerned about when it comes to the future of the cattle industry, and that is cell-based meat. Why are you so concerned about it?
So first of all, I wouldn't give it the credibility to call it meat. I would just call it cell-based goop, because anything that's made in a bioreactor, to me, it doesn't fit with what I want to feed my grandchildren and my kids. But the issue is, it's the current hit thing with the Hollywood type from California, because this way they don't have to have the animals on the ground. There's no slaughter of the animals, and they see this as a way to somehow going to protect the environment. And frankly, it's the opposite effect, because you're taking all of these materials, you're putting them into a beer vat, for lack of a better term. You're putting antibiotics in it. You're putting all of these growth promotants in it. And then you're not going to tell the public what they're eating. And our biggest concern is that these people that are putting all the money into it, Bill Gates and all of his friends, are using this as a way to effectively put away animal agriculture.
There's a lot of cattle producers in Australia who have been watching cell-based meat. In fact, one of the keynote speakers at this conference years ago was Mark Prost, the guy who did that first cell-based beef burger. But most cattle producers just see this all as a fad. It'll never take off. What would you say to them?
Well, and if you would have asked me 6 months ago or so, until I saw firsthand where the money is going. So on the last information that we have, there's about $2 billion that was raised and put into this in the year 2021. And the numbers are even more astounding as all of these entities come on board. You know, when the first plant-based stuff came on, I really wasn't too concerned about that, because the public is going to look at that and they could differentiate whether they wanted to eat it or whether they didn't want to eat it. And I think the world's beef producers simply want the people to know what they're eating. And they don't want to mislead. Because the producers in the United States, the dairy sector, lost this argument a long time ago. The nomenclature to the word milk is gone, and we won't get it back. We can't let that happen to the word beef and all related uses of it, because if you can grow it in a beer vat and then you can blend it, it's going to take away the grind.
Yeah, and that's your main concern, Jay, its impact on that sort of burger meat part of the industry. You're not concerned about a company making a T-bone steak using a bioreactor. It's that sort of grinding beef that you feel this could have an impact.
And that is where it is going to have the impact. And to Australia, it is such a big part of it, because a lot of Australian meat goes to the U.S. for its lean nature, because we produce a more marbleized product, and we don't have enough lean meat in the United States. So that blended product is what's going into the burgers at McDonald's and Burger King and all of those places. But if you allow it to go in there and you don't label it as something other than what it is, and I don't know what that word is going to be.
They probably won't call it goop.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I have labeled this goop in the United States, and it frankly has stuck all over the country, because I can't think of anything very appetizing about pouring it in to a beer vat and having it come out, understanding that it's coming from the cells of a live animal. But the other thing that people don't realize is this product is using immortalized cells that don't die, and they're using that and replicating that, and we don't know what that's going to do to our food source. Mm. So the producers in my country, and I think here in Australia, have a reputation for doing a quality product.
And there's not room in the market for everyone here?
No, there isn't room in the market unless it's labeled correctly. If they want to sell that mixed to my meat and it's labeled for what it is, I'll compete against that every day. Because frankly, I don't think that housewife is going to reach into that grocery store counter and pick up something that says cell-based. She's going to pick up the real thing.
You've encouraged cattle producers here today to fight this. I'll just read out your quote. Get in the fight and let's throw a right and a left. But what does that actually look like, Todd?
Well, what it looks like is taking the world's leaders in meat production and working together to get the rules adopted on a international scope. We're also worried about what the rules are in the United States or the rules in Australia or the rules in Italy. If we take that approach, we're going to get beat by the very people that are running the show because they're already ahead of us. They're using their nomenclature to dictate the terms. And we've got to get out there and get active on an international level and get a standard adopted. If we don't get a standard, we're going to lose this battle.
And if you lose the battle, what would that even mean, though, for a NT cattle producer at the back of Alice Springs?
So let's use the numbers that I talked about in my speech. 20% of the grind. So 20%, if you take 20% of the grind that gets replaced by this product, now you would think, well, 20% out of a big product isn't going to make that much of an impact. Targeting at the grind is going to be devastating on Australian producers because that's the very product that you're producing. And if it folds into the United States and we're a big user of that grind, I don't know that my operation in South Dakota is going to be able to stand up to that. Sure, some of my meat goes into white tablecloth, so the restaurant trade. Mm. Other parts of my meat go into hamburger. And then hamburger is immensely popular across the world. And if you lose that market share, you're going to put somebody out of business.
And just finally, Todd Wilkinson, cattle producers in Australia have been closely watching the US, the drought over there, the national herd in the US fall into its lowest since the 1950s, and everyone just wondering what this all could mean for cattle prices here in Australia. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you what they're doing in my area. I'm at record high prices, and I got to believe that as big a player as the U.S. is on the global market, it's going to have a positive impact here. Our herd is not rebuilding yet, so we're still not retaining heifers and putting them back into the system. So instead of originally we thought this was maybe going to be a 24, 25 by the time we rebuilt the herd, now those projections are 26, 27. Because we just can't get the heifers off the market. And if we don't replace the herd, the rest of the world is going to have to fill up that huge void of demand in the U.S. because we don't have the cattle to fill it.
Todd Wilkinson, thanks for your time on the Country Hour in Australia. Appreciate it.
Thank you.